Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, in the first half, we have the Dragnet controversy, Eat Your Feelings, and what the hell else? I'll think of it. Someone will shout it out. Emmy, shout it
Trending
out.
Trending topics.
Trending topics. That's what I was thinking about. We'll do all that right after this.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Welcome to The Inevitable. This is Motor Trend's new podcast about the future of the automobile. I am Johnny Lieberman, the senior features editor at Motor Trend, and I am joined every week by my co-host, Mr. Ed Lowe.
That's me. I'm the head of editorial for Motor Trend, and boy, do we have an amazing list of guests that we're going to be chatting with.
We've got the godfather of the environmental movement, Ed Begley Jr.
Derek Jenkins, a whole bunch of actors, celebrities, car crazy folks, people from in and outside the industry. Can't wait for you to join us.
We're talking about the future of the car. This means everything from electrified vehicles to cars that drive themselves.
Come check us out. We're on podcastone.com or anywhere else you find your favorite podcasts. We're also on motortrend.com and youtube.com/motortrend.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Nimesh Patel. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, plus a new Eat Your Feelings recipe, and Chris Loxamana has some trending topics. And now, thrilled that Biden is forgiving some of his student loans to Valley College. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice we've got. My man, did you get it on? Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan.
I feel like you just... did the pot just go down?
I want to kiss you on the lips, and I want to take you to Italy.
There it is.
All right. So, I got up about 5 in the morning for some reason.
Oh.
Could not sleep.
We should have played Words with Friends. I was also up.
Went downstairs and turned on the TV, and it was on, like, I don't know, whatever, MeTV, whatever. They show all the old reruns. And I love watching the old reruns. They're not entertaining. There's no storyline. There's nothing redeeming about them from a storytelling standpoint, from an acting or artistic standpoint. But it was what we were doing at the time.
Drab familiarity.
Yeah, they would. If it was a cop show, that's what cops looked like. Yeah. And if it was a family show, that's what families looked like. And I walked in, I sat down, and they had. I watched about the last 10 minutes of Highway Patrol. The Highway Patrol was a great theme song.
Was it a Chips knockoff?
Yeah, so was it different than Chips?
It would predated Chips by like 28 years something like that. And the opening is awesome. And it also made me think of our friend who I haven't spoken to in a while, but the radio guy I loved listening to, Phil Hendry. Because Phil Hendry would always play the theme because one of his characters was from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he'd be busting women at a shopping mall for like wearing skirts and
that were too high
or whatever. Yeah, we got to get Phil back. Anyway, genius, classic radio. Always listen to Phil. But I'll just play you the theme. You'll know the theme song of California Highway Patrol. A lot of kettle drum.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, each state has a duly authorized organization that swings into action. It may be called the state militia, or the state police, or the highway patrol. These are the stories of the men whose training, skill, and courage have enforced and preserved our state laws.
It was a whole episode about nothing.
Hard to see why it didn't stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Guys.
An industrial video.
But it's funny. Guys who had a job as like a truck driver, they dressed like a truck driver, like a longshoreman, dressed like a longshoreman. A cop was dressed like a cop. Undercover, still had their own outfit. Like everything was its own thing. And what I started also noticing, every episode, they'd come walking into the office, and there was a hat rack, and the hat would come off and go onto the rack, and then the jacket, they were wearing a suit and tie, you know, the blazer would come off and hang up too, and then they would sit down and they would light a cigarette.
Simpler times.
The boss would come out and go, "We have an incident on I-5," and they go, "All right," and they put the cigarette out, get up, jacket on, hat on, back out again. They get in the car, hat would come off. Cigarette would come back on. Like, it was hat, jacket, cigarette, on, off, like 13 times a day. Every time they came in, then they'd go to lunch, back up, hat on, jacket back on. Like, they were dressing and undressing 35 times in a half-hour episode. They'd never get to the bottom of their cigarette. They'd light the cigarette.
Time.
The boss would come in and go, "Listen, boys," and go, "Ah," they'd put it out. They'd go back out again.
Because you can't transport a cigarette.
No.
No, no, you can't. You can't walk. You could stand in one place, but you can't walk with a cigarette. So there was that, and then Dragnet came on right after that. And Dragnet, you know, we've seen the movie, a lot of parodies, you know, and all that. But the story of Dragnet is these were actual stories taken from the L.A. County court, whatever.
Right, police files.
And the names were changed to protect the innocent.
Right.
That's all they did, although they changed the names of the people that were guilty a lot of the time. I don't know. But anyway, it was the story as pulled from the file, as then sort of reenacted. It's kind of an interesting theme if you think about it. Mid-60s. Okay. I don't know. Started in early 60s.
Cakewalk for the writers.
And they would go through the actual story. And this story was a story. It started with two people dead on a hit and run, probably a drunk driver, blew through a red light, killed two pedestrians walking along the side, across the intersection. And they needed to find the guy who did it. They found the guy who did it. So two dead people. They found the guy who did it, and the guy had an attitude. He was a businessman. I don't know. Maybe we can just start it from when he's talking to him. So they get him. So he has been drunk, and he's run over and killed two people.
Whoopsie.
And now he's showed up at the precinct, and we'll see what happens with him.
Fillmore would be booked on two counts of hit-and-run felony and two counts of felony manslaughter.
How much longer is this going to take, Paul?
We should have you out on bail in time for lunch.
Well, fine. All right, Sergeant Friday, lead the way. Don't look so hangdog. How old did you say those two were that you say I hit?
The woman was 67. The man was 73.
Well, I'm sorry, but It isn't as if they were going to live much longer anyway.
Oh, that's a COVID thing.
Don't say anything more.
Pause it right there. First off, the guy's killed two people in this car, and he wants to get down to Felipe's and have a dip.
Right.
Right? And he's checking his watch. Like, yeah, all right. So two people, right? Yeah, combined age, 150. What's the big
one? I did society a favor.
Yeah.
Suck off the government teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Garagos is 67. He's dead. He's got one foot in the grave. Come on now.
I argue a lot of people still need him.
Richard Branson is way older than most these people, than both these people. But anyway, he's just killed two people with his car. He's got a little attitude about it. We'll play it.
I am sorry.
Yeah, well, sorry won't bring him back, Fillmore.
A dedicated cop.
Now, you have a right to remain silent, Clay. I advise you to do so.
There's
no rule against him listening, is it?
Depends on what you say to him, Sergeant.
Yeah, well, I'll try to be careful.
Here we go.
Fillmore, maybe as far as you're concerned, those two people lived all the life you figure they should, but what gives you the right to end it for them? It doesn't really bother you, does it? You were in a 30-mile zone. You were doing 50, maybe 55 miles an hour. Those two people you hit were knocked 77 feet 6 inches down the street from the point of impact. We believe he'd been drinking this time, too. This isn't the first time for you. You got a drunk driving record that goes back to your high school days. Every time you've beaten it, haven't you? Down the hall, there's Traffic Enforcement Division. We've got good laws, and they try to enforce them, but they got an impossible job. There are 130 miles of freeway in this city, better than 6,000 miles of surface streets. Every 10 minutes, there's an accident. Every 10 minutes, somebody like you tries to kill himself or somebody else. You blew 20 minutes of that time all by yourself. Mister, you killed two human beings, two people who were alive and breathing seconds before you ran them down. And you've got the monumental gall to stand here and say they wouldn't have lived much longer. You may be out on bail in a couple hours, and if so, you take this to lunch with you. Two people are lying over there in the county morgue, and you put them there. You were in a hurry the night you killed them. You're in a hurry now to see how fast you can forget. I want to wish you a lot of luck. I hope it takes the rest of your life.
Powerful.
Now, have a good lunch.
Oh, my God. Wow. I'm using that for my next audition. That was amazing.
So.
That was amazing.
Dragnet.
Yes!
You just have to think about drunk driving laws in the city of Los Angeles in 2022. Mm. This guy's been beating this rap.
It's continuously.
For 30 years.
Yeah.
This guy's in his mid-40s. Since high school, he's been beating this drunk driving rap. Now he's killed two people. But we still don't have enough law to put him behind bars. Mm-mm. He's out. All right, sorry, we'll continue, because this guy's not done.
Oh, there's more?
Oh, he's not done.
Okay.
He's got to take the pain away.
Oh. Oh, no, Brian.
A lot of kettle drum back then,
1:15 p.m. Bill and I began putting all the paperwork together on the Fillmore hit and run.
Joe, Bill, thought you'd like to know.
Yes, sir.
Clayton Fillmore just walked out. He made bail.
Beleaguered cops.
He paid like $130 and went home.
1:35 p.m. We got a call that forensic chemist Ray Murray in the scientific investigation
division
wanted to
see us. They always had to have the Coke bottle glasses on those guys.
1964 blue Lincoln sedan. Found a small piece of leather here at the front bumper. Matches the shoe the male victim was wearing. Mm-hmm. Cloth imprint on the vehicle matches his clothing.
Anything else, Ray?
Yeah, blood on the windshield matches the female victim. Hair embedded in the glass matches up, too.
It's grisly.
No doubt about it, Joe.
Yeah.
Fillmore's car killed them both.
All right, let's see what happened to the guy.
A complaint against Clayton Fillmore was issued by the district attorney's office.
At the Hall of Justice.
3 months later, the case came to trial.
All right, see what happened to this guy.
3:15 p.m., Friday, September 15th.
Killed two people.
Well,
suspended sentence, 3 years probation, $250 fine.
What?
Doesn't seem like much, does it?
No.
Oh, I don't know. That's $125 for each life.
Jesus.
Imagine Los Angeles, you kill two people while driving drunk, and they charge you. No, but again,
suspended sentence.
Adjusted for inflation, it'd be like $1,200. So it'd be $600 per person.
Wow. Yeah. Bargain at any price.
Per life you took.
That's
right.
A bleak ending.
Wow.
We're not done.
Oh, my God.
We're not done, because this guy's at it again.
Oh, my God.
It's committed to the
5 months had gone by since the Clayton Fillmore trial. 6 p.m. We were just getting ready to go home for the day.
Hasn't been half
a
year.
Go on. Traffic wants us to cover their shorthanded. Two-car pilot.
Let me just pause and say this.
Yes.
If you're a cop, never, don't ever be, I'm just about to retire. And don't ever be, we're just about to go home at the end of the day.
No. Yeah,
that's
time.
That's when the work comes
that's right.
in. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Involved. Yeah. Two DOA, two critical.
No.
Two dead now.
No.
Two critical.
We left the office and headed across town for 6th and Bixell Streets.
Oh, boy.
Couple destroyed cars. Going to talk to the motorcycle cop on the scene.
T-boned him.
T-boned that Mustang.
It's very quiet on that city street.
Yeah.
That's right. Because it's the back lot of Universal.
That's right. It's not but actually still downtown LA.
Kettle drum.
Any ID?
Wheelock, 2 Mary 139. Pretty bad, Sergeant. Two of them didn't last 5 minutes till the ambulance got here. A couple of teenage girls. Man and wife in the impact vehicle. Both critical.
You checked with witnesses?
Yeah. Wrote down 8 of them.
What'd they do? Run a signal?
Yeah. Man and his wife ran it on red. Must have been doing 50, according to the witnesses.
You got the victim's names, Wheelock?
Right, Sergeant.
Uh-oh. Who is this?
Bill. Man and wife driving the impact vehicle.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Clayton Fillmore.
No.
All right,
sure
now...
It's a mess, isn't it?
All right.
Sure is.
Now he's got two teenagers dead.
Yeah.
So his kind of argument is, I killed a couple of old-timers that had 1 foot in the grave.
Yeah.
Now he's got the two teenagers.
Did I miss it? Are these his daughters?
No.
Because they're driving his wife and him? Okay.
I think that his wife and him hit the two girls that were driving.
Hit the family. Or the two teenagers.
Gotcha.
But now...
A man and wife.
He's got the 63-year-old and the 72-year-old, but that is the two 17-year-olds. So now his average age is like 37 and a half.
Now how's he going to get out of this pickle?
All right. Well, let's see. Now, this is a true case file from Los Angeles. So this had to have happened. All right. They're going to go visit her in the hospital, the wife.
Mrs. Fillmore.
Now, what you should know is... Mrs. Fillmore, earlier in this episode, was divorcing him because he drank and drove. Too much.
Okay, yeah.
Too much. She said, enough. Enough. I'm no more driving with this guy, or he can't drive drunk. He's getting drunk too much, and he's driving too much. So I'm going to leave him. But she didn't leave him. But then I was thinking about it. All right, we'll play it. We'll play it.
Bill and I drove over to Central Receiving Hospital to make the usual follow-up report. We talked to the doctor in attendance.
Back to the kettle drum.
He told us that Clayton Fillmore was under heavy sedation and could not be talked to. Mrs. Fillmore was in better condition. What at first appeared to be a critical condition was further diagnosed as traumatic shock. She had 7 broken ribs and was suffering from contusions.
Oh, boy.
The doctor said we could see her for a few minutes.
She should have been in a Volvo.
Surgical scrubs?
Yeah, he looks like he's in a nightgown.
That's how they do it. That's the wife.
Mrs. Fillmore.
Her glasses are okay.
Or dark glasses.
No, ma'am. He's under sedation.
Oh, dear God. Dear God. How did it happen?
You know.
How did it happen?
All right. Hold on a second. Pause. How did
on,
it happen?
Jackie-o.
The guy you were going to leave because he was a chronic drunk and wouldn't stop driving and then killed two people while he was drunk earlier this year has now killed two more people because he was driving drunk again.
Yeah.
But this time you were riding shotgun.
Yeah.
And she finds it all hard to believe.
How?
What happened? How did this happen?
All right. Number one. Number two, how committed were we back in the 60s to the dude driving?
A man and wife. Of course he's driving.
They can't go out any other way.
No.
But he's drunk.
Doesn't matter.
He has a long history of running people over drunk.
Would you rather be in the car with a homicidal maniac or be shamed by the community?
I was going to say, you make a good point, Adam.
It's an automatic. I mean, she has a Buick back at home.
Yeah, she's got a vagina.
It's very shaming to have your wife drive.
I'm just saying, at some point, shouldn't they swap seats? Shouldn't she have thoughts about it?
What's next? She gets to vote? Come on, buddy.
She's got a license. She goes home, and the next day she goes to the supermarket in her car, right? She can
presumably operate
a vehicle. Why wouldn't... All right, but anyway.
It's enabler.
She wants to know how it happened.
Okay.
All right, well, let's see what she has to say.
Ms. Fillmore.
He said if I'd drop the divorce proceedings, he'd straighten out. He hasn't, has he?
Doesn't look like it, ma'am.
He killed those two young girls, didn't he?
Yes, ma'am.
I wish I were dead. Oh, how I wish I were dead.
That's acting.
Try to take it easy, Ms. Fillmore.
Did they tell you what happened to Clay? He's going to lose both his legs.
She's still in love, though. I like
both
that.
Both his legs?
Yes, ma'am.
Now
he was
afraid
to get to this cocktail party.
Yeah, that'll stop
he had a few drinks in his office before he left.
All right, hold on a second.
Well, he had drinks to get him to the cocktail party.
And he was.
We cut to the next scene.
You never want to be late to a cocktail party.
No.
You know, any cocktail invitation I've ever seen says 7 straight up.
They locked the doors.
708.
And he needed a roadie to get to the place where he'd be drinking?
It's a sign in the window that says no late admission. No late seatings.
Yeah, so he was drinking at the office, which was just a standard fare thing back in the day. That's a Larry Tate, Mad Men kind of thing. But then also, did she meet him at the office and he'd just been drinking at the office? Or he swung by his house and picked her up to go to the cocktail party and then he got back behind the wheel even though he'd been drinking at the office? I feel like she could have intervened here in the death of those two teens.
If she wasn't going to leave him after killing two human beings, you think she had the cojones to be like, you out!
Yeah,
get in the passenger seat!
Well, I admire her dedication. All right, here we go.
Dead.
Try to tell him not to have any more to drink. Oh. He wouldn't listen.
There you go.
He never does. His drinks cost him his legs.
Yes, ma'am.
We were late leaving his office. I tried to tell him. He said not to worry. We'd make it on time.
We're not being tardy to the party.
He won't be anymore.
Oh, boy.
I think this is your monologue.
All right.
I still understand the sunglasses.
They didn't want to do her up with the black eye makeup and stuff.
She couldn't produce any tears.
Ah, yes, the actress couldn't. They would always have hands bandaged up back in the day. All right. So this guy has killed two people and then a few months later killed two more people with a long history of drunk driving in the city of Los Angeles. Now, you get a DUI in the city of Los Angeles now, your life is ruined for a year. You got to blow into the breathalyzer to start the car. You get suspended license. God knows how much. It's 10 grand by the time you're done with the attorney and everything else. But let's see. And this is an actual court case. Let's see what actually happened to this guy in the city of Los Angeles.
Time served.
The story you have just seen
is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
On May 20th, trial was held in Department 185, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial.
All right. Now, four dead
Place
people.
Place your bets.
Almost a basketball team.
I mean, they recognize the mistake they made by letting him go off easy before. They doubled down this time.
Sure.
He's killed four people in his car.
Yeah. They got to make this right.
I don't know. Even if you retained Mark Garagos, I don't know what you could do with four dead human beings. Yeah. But we'll see what the County of Los Angeles served him up.
The suspect was found guilty on two counts of felony manslaughter. Felony manslaughter is punishable by imprisonment in the county jail for not more than 1 year. Or in the state prison for not more than 5 years.
Not more than 1 year.
Not
Since
more.
This was his second offense, Clayton R. Fillmore received the maximum sentence.
Oh, Sean.
However, because of his permanent disability resulting from the accident, the sentence was suspended. He was also forbidden to ever drive a vehicle again as long as he lived.
He can't!
Despite the fact that artificial legs would have made it possible for him to do so.
You gotta be committed to the lifestyle, man.
No time.
Wow.
Four dead people. No time. Zero time.
He has a higher body count than Charles Manson.
Yeah. Actual body count.
Actual committing murder.
It's essentially you took out all the kids from any sitcom you've ever seen.
Yeah.
That's Full House.
All every the kids, Culkin.
Every kid
every
from
Culkin.
Every kid from Full House is dead. You do
both twins.
No time.
Yeah.
I think we've rearranged the laws a little bit.
Or at least put some wheelchair ramps in the prisons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now everyone can go.
Yeah.
You suffered enough.
Yeah.
So they say this is the case number. This is the court. This is the date. That's actually then what happened.
I guess I never really believed it. That's true. They really are pulling real case files.
Well,
because I'm used to the parody of that. The people making fun of that.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, there you go, everybody.
That's great. Back when America was great.
Yeah. And by the way, when he was getting his DUIs, now it's 0.08. It was probably 0.13 something back then.
Yeah.
You'd have to blow a lot to get to that point now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Back then. So anyway, I was enthralled.
I get it.
I hope this enters a whole new era of this podcast, the Dragnet era.
Yeah, I think we've closed the chapter on Love Boat for now.
You can find, you know, there's a breakdown, Chris, where his soliloquies are second to none. And that's why everyone parodied them. But parodied them. But if you go back, I don't know, toward the middle, he gives a nice explanation on what happens in a head-on collision. There used to be a lot of these...
like PSAs.
Discussions, yeah. In the first tenth of a second, here's what happens. And the three tenths in, your head makes contact with the dashboard.
The last tenth doesn't matter because you're already dead.
Yeah, he gives... and they'll show some pictures of busted-up cars. I'll give you a minute to look for that, Chris, because this is Friday at its best. First, let me tell you about electric e-bikes. Finally, an e-bike for everyone. They start at just $799, and the fastest growing e-bike company in the U.S. I'm telling you, I folded this thing. They fold in half, so you can throw them in the back of just about any vehicle you have. Took it to the track, had Sonny on it all day, every day. He rode the track up the hills, over the hills and the dales. He covered them both. Never stopped riding the thing. At the end of the day, when we're ready to head out, still had some charge on it. Just plug it in overnight, go back to the Airbnb, and come back and ride it all day again. Affordable, customizable, ships free, pre-assembled, pre-charged even. Plus, they fold in half, like I said, no bike rack or truck necessary. It's just a great piece. And you can cover over, or I say, up to 45 miles at up to 28 miles per hour. Sonny got going even a little better than that down the hill. Batteries hidden away. LCD display shows speed, range, adjustable power. It's all there. Electric e-bikes, right, Dawson?
Where will your e-bike adventure take you? Go to electricebikes.com and get $100 off any e-bike purchase. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Do we find him giving his discussion on what happens in the first second of a head-on collision?
Was this show like in partnership with like the California Highway Patrol?
It reminded you of every student film you saw when he was breaking it down. Oh, here he is having lunch.
Are they like dinner
with a reporter from the Herald Examiner, the old newspaper out here?
Jake, you'll notice that most of these photos were taken on the freeways. A great many of them were head-on collisions.
Yeah.
Most people are driving them at 65 to 70 miles an hour. But let's just take a speed of 55 miles an hour, and there's a head-on. Do you have any idea what happens in that first second of the impact?
Yes, suppose I know exactly.
Thank well, you. Among others, Cornell University has done quite a bit of study on the nature of auto crashes.
Yeah, I know.
There are people who have taken that first second of impact, and they've broken it down into tenths. Now, you're driving 55 miles an hour, and you have a head-on. This is what happens. In the first tenth of that fatal second, the front bumper and grille collapses. During the second tenth, your hood rises and strikes the windshield. Fenders begin wrapping themselves around the object of collision. You slam on your brakes, but your body is still moving at 55 miles an hour. You stiffen your legs for the jolt, but they both snap at the knee joint.
Oh, my. Oh,
yeah. During the third tenth of a second, your body catapults from the seat. Broken knees ram into the dashboard. The steering wheel begins to collapse. The steering column drives towards your chest. In the fourth tenth, 2 feet of the car's front end are totally demolished, but the rear end is still traveling at 35 miles an hour. Your body is moving forward at 55. In the fifth tenth, your body's impaled on the steering
column. Ralph Nader has a boner if he's listening to this.
During the sixth tenth, the force of impact is built up so that your feet are ripped out of their shoes. The brake pedal shears off. The car frame buckles in the middle. Your head slams into the windshield. Your
son goes gay.
In the seventh tenth of a second, the entire car body is distorted. Hinges rip off. Doors spring open. The seat flails loose, striking you from behind. But it really doesn't matter. You're dead.
Yeah.
You weren't around to experience the final three-tenths of this 1 second. Neither are your passengers.
God, can you imagine being married to this guy?
Yeah, I know.
My driving instructor gave us this speech, basically. I remember it almost verbatim, like, the last three-tenths don't matter because you're already dead.
Yeah.
They would
lift it right off of this.
Wow.
The thing that was funny about this scene is they were sitting down with a reporter from the Herald Examiner for a breakfast meeting or something, and they showed, like, a close-up of the reporter's plate, two eggs, bacon, parsley, two sprigs of parsley, whatever. And they showed it. And as soon as he got into this story, I was like, they're going to do another close-up as the guy walks away because he can't touch
his plate away.
At this thing. And that's exactly what they did.
Wow. Chekhov's plate.
That's right. All right. We got Eat Your Feelings.
We do.
I know.
We need a palate cleanser.
We got trending topics, and we got all that right after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
No one would watch a job like Zavala. He screams and makes you have to jump to search the internet and make him right. Max Zavala. His real name's Lock Zavala.
All right. So let's see. First off, Gina.
Yes,
my condolences to you in the city of Kansas City.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, so Len Dawson's trending. Yeah. He died at age 87 today.
And I only ever knew him as a sports anchor. I knew, but like I didn't know he was a football player until I was an adult.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was our anchor guy.
You
Len
know,
Dawson.
Probably, weirdly, because this is how life works, most famous for a picture of him smoking in the locker room.
Yeah. So we have it here.
During Super Bowl.
This is Super Bowl one.
That's halftime.
Halftime at Super Bowl one. Yeah. So
this team lost the game.
It's an incredible photo. What's great about this is it didn't come out for like 45 years. It never made it to print. So what happened was the photographer was granted access to the locker room, and then he was only allowed to print it if the Chiefs won, and they lost. So it was just hidden, and then eventually, I think Time or Life put out a photo gallery, and it made the rounds.
It's a great picture.
Yeah, it's just that's what it was like. Because was it because Super Bowl wasn't as big of a deal as it is now? They're like, oh, it's just another.
Health wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Relax.
This is what people did when they worked.
He's just drinking sugar water and taking in nicotine. Like
drinking Fresca.
Yeah.
I don't
Amp
know.
Him up for the second.
But day. I was watching Hard Knocks the other night, and they were at halftime, and the DB for the Lions, he was just eating pretzels, you know, so it was like kind of empty carbs. But, you know, these guys are in amazing shape and blah, blah, blah. But you still, it's 2022. Like, don't we have some, here's, you know, you need a scoop of almond butter or some Vinnie Tortorich-esque spin on nutrition, just eating salty carbs and going out there.
It's surprising.
It is weird that it's 2022 and, you know, you see people, guys are eating Skittles on the sideline and stuff. And then, you know, this gets down to hundredths of a second. Like at some point, it's the fourth quarter and these guys are gassing out. Mm-hmm. You know, fatigue is setting in. Well, if you're carb loading at halftime,
you're thirsty as fuck.
Shouldn't we have some mush, some compote, something that a scientist like put together and you just go, look, I know you like Skittles and Starburst and pretzels
They're
and
great.
Stuff like that. After the game, boys.
Yeah.
Got a whole week to eat that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that pretzel could. It's a game of inches. It's a game. It's a game of grains
pretzels.
Now. Yeah.
Yes.
But Len Dawson.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll be missed.
I know.
He was always with the Chiefs.
I played till the Chiefs until he was like 40. I think he retired after that. Yeah. And they won Super Bowl IV.
Nice.
So, but anyway, so we talked about in the intro joke, but the big news right now is Biden and the student loans. He's they announced that he will forgive $10,000 in federal student debt for most borrowers, up to $20,000 for recipients of the Pell Grant, and this is unprecedented. I mean, we saw during the Democratic election or when like the campaign, excuse me, yeah, when like was Bernie Sanders like, I want it all gone. And I think Elizabeth Warren's like, oh, we'll do it up to 50K. But Biden's like, oh, let's do 10, 20. And,
dip a toe.
And yeah, and there are people against it on both sides. There are people for it on both sides. It's kind of interesting because a lot of the criticism is like, hey, I paid my debts. And now these kids, they racked up this debt and they just get it wiped clean.
Yeah, but 10,000 isn't wiped clean.
I know, but
I'm undereducated on this, but wouldn't this destabilize like the Sally Mays of the world? Like, wouldn't it?
That'd be great.
Yes, that's a big argument of it too.
They're predatory, and you can make a case against them, but wouldn't this be detrimental to our economy? Like, what if a large company had $10 billion worth of income wiped away overnight?
Well, yeah, they said it was going to affect, what, like 45 million people times 10,000?
Yeah.
That's a good chunk of change.
It's also kind of a class thing because the people who go to college are bigger income earners statistically. Mm-hmm. Why are we cutting them a break?
Because the student loan debt has outpaced what you earn, like in a salary.
All right,
it's
giveaway free shit. Get votes. I mean, that's all this is.
And it's like, I mean, $10,000. Like, if somebody wanted to hand it to me, I would take it and put it to good use. But that's like saying like you get 10% off this item. Like, you know,
it's
okay,
not
so going to
put a big dent in it. But it's just the general. It falls under the general heading of, I don't like all the free school lunches and free school breakfasts and $10,000. I don't like any of it because it takes the onus away from you and it hands it to the government. And this is a trend. We're hitting our stride, but we're running faster toward those. Let government handle it. Government fucks everything up. It doesn't help you. And also, you signed up for it. That's what you did. Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't push so hard for having everyone going. I mean, imagine, you know, they go, oh, it's $50,000 a year to go to. Imagine what $50,000 would do in a trade school.
My God.
Imagine how great a fucking welder or plumber or electrician you'd be after $30,000 worth of fucking trade school. Yeah. We're going to need these tradespeople. There should definitely be some carve outs for that. I don't like it. But it's just trying to buy votes. I mean, and everyone's pissed because one side's pissed because they're giving away something. Bernie Sanders is pissed because you're not paying for everything. Nothing's ever enough.
You said free lunches, and you're right. That's still going on in public school. Can I please tell you what some of the more hoity-toity districts are calling it? Because I was at a parent-teacher meet and greet this morning, and the teacher at this very expensive public school in a very expensive area of LA, they don't call it free, they call it complimentary.
Oh.
As though we're all at a hotel together.
It's a moose-boosh.
It's still complimentary.
It's just get them in the crate, get them on the fucking government teat, start giving them free shit early, and by the way, it's all junk square pizza with meat-like product on top of it, but it's all bad. None of it's good. Handing out money, printing money is going to fuck up the economy, but it's going to fuck people's brains up more, and I say you sign up, you pay up.
Well, and also, wouldn't it be better if they didn't start, if they weren't chasing this problem? Because that causes the problems, like you said. Why don't they start working with these dipshits over at Sally Mae and Freddie Mac and, you know, whatever the fuck, and do it at the head and not chase it at the end and start handing out coupons for free money?
And also, when they do the, you know, now you get you buy an electric car, you get a $10,000 voucher toward the electric car. The electric car just goes up $10,000.
Right,
they figure
right.
that shit out. Tuition will just go up by whatever percent or whatever money it is. They should really be talking. I know we've talked about this before. Someone should be talking to these institutions, these colleges, and saying, you have endowments that are worth $200 billion. Yeah. Why are you charging? You know, we just do this thing where you go, it's $50,000 a year. The average family makes $63,000. How could it? And everyone goes, well, then we're going to have to pay the college for it. Does anyone want to talk to the colleges and go, what the fuck are you doing? Why is this so insanely expensive? Why you have a war chest of, in some cases, you know, Harvard and Yale and Stanford and stuff. It's like billions of dollars. What? Can't we take a little haircut on these tuition?
You're right. And on top of that, a lot of these universities, like USC, I know, is a landowner. They own a lot of the dorms and whatever. Like the tuition must be 10th on your list of what comes in.
Yeah, well, so
rent and donations and whatever.
My thing is I'm all for a three-prong approach. Like, all right, let's help pay off these student debts. Okay. But let's also see if we can get people into trade school. And then let's also try to figure out why they have run up such a debt with these colleges for this four-year degree.
Right, yeah, because they're saying it is a combination of stagnant wages and then and the cost of higher education. But yeah, we should be looking at higher education. That's something that can be lowered. And
well, when gas goes up to $5.60 a gallon, Biden gets behind the microphone and he goes, "What are these refining companies doing? They're gouging." Like if beef goes up or gas goes up, the same people accuse the ranchers and the oil refineries of gouging the people. Mm-hmm. Well, if the price of a unit of college has gone up 7,000% in the last 40 years, why don't you accuse them of gouging? I know that's your constituency. Those are your friends over there. But no fingers ever pointed toward the colleges. Yeah. No one wants to know, like, hey, fucking AOC, you're not interested how they got to the $200,000 worth of debt? We're just, if you, Gavin Newsom, he doesn't like the predatory check cashing places, right? He's all about them.
Yeah. What variables are being controlled?
This is what they're doing. They're predatory. Go get them. Yeah. Go after them. But those are their people, and they won't fucking go after them.
That's their alma mater.
Start bringing it up.
Well, I imagine they skate under the good guise of education.
That's what I was thinking. Who could ever say to Biden if he did that, you're anti-education. I'm trying to get people educated.
And also, we have to delineate. Like, if you want to go in there for 4 years and get your Chicano studies major, fuck you. We're not reimbursing you. You have no application in the real world. You need to declare like a nice STEM. You need to have a STEM, I don't know what you call it, major.
Technology, engineering, mathematics.
Hold on, don't talk. You have to be able to define STEM first.
Science, technology,
engineering,
and math.
I
want to
help him.
No, I wasn't looking for the acronym. I was trying to say, have a STEM major and we'll help you. Have a bullshit major and fuck you. You want to study dance or you want to study art? That's on you. You're not going to be employable. You can't pay. You have gotten a 4-year degree in something that doesn't pay. That's your fucking decision.
Yeah.
This doesn't bode well for my concentration in kabuki and kyogen.
Right. Well, you can.
But I fucking paid it off through the glory of radio.
You can do it, but that's on you to pay back.
Yeah. And like, there are people my age still paying their college. That's insane.
Yeah,
that's insane. So I'm with you, Adam. Anyway, let's bring it back to sports / food because we got an Eat Your Feelings segment coming up.
All right.
There's a video that's been going around of a baseball fan out there, New York Yankees.
Oh, I saw this.
It's great. So he wanted a beer.
Yeah.
He decided,
I have mixed feelings.
Mixed.
And so
I do
what?
Too.
He takes a hot dog and he pokes a straw through the hot dog, making the straw a hot dog, and then he'll sip the beer through the straw, and someone just caught this on video.
Who amongst us has used red vine as a straw?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good argument. Yeah. All right.
there he goes. So
as the debate rages on our Twitters, my thought is, I would never do this. This feels weird and kind of icky. That said, who amongst us has washed a hot dog down with a beer? They're about the same time anyway.
But would you rather eliminate the middleman and have a beer-flavored hot dog or hot dog flavored beer?
Brats cooked in beer, in beer.
It seems a little weird, but
exactly. So my journey through this video was disgusting. And then it started becoming more appealing. There's all these conspiracies. Like somebody's like, oh, this is a Kimmel prank. We're going to find out about it in a week or so.
Oh, yeah.
Another one. There was a group thread where a guy was sharing screenshots of his group text, and one of the guys was like, I know that guy. I worked with him at a casino. He does this at the cafeteria there, and he does it with tea, and somebody asked him, why do you do this? And he says, I like the mixture of the salt and the fat with the drink. It makes it taste better. And with that description, I looked at the beer and the hot dog, and I go, I try it.
Yeah.
I'll try it.
A shot.
Well, it's simultaneously the straightest and gayest thing you can do sure. at the same time. It's kind of like the rodeo, you know what I mean? It's gay and it's super straight.
There's
nothing
nerdier or manlier.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, you're sucking on a dick, essentially, but it's also the straightest thing you can do.
Sure, being a dog. Mm-hmm. Is he cheating out for someone's camera, or that's just how he sits? Because I'm trying to figure out if this is some sort of a hoax, too.
Oh, interesting. I mean, it's hard to say. This is the only video that was posted. Everyone's been sharing. It's from this angle. No one else took a video of the guy.
I don't know how often you guys go to sporting events, but when you're lucky enough to get that aisle seat,
you really use it a little bit.
You know what I mean? You get the elbow out there, get the knee out there.
Wow. Yeah. Revolting.
I like this guy. I don't know if I could hang with him, but I like him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll try it. I'll get back to you guys.
Is that a plaid Yankees cap?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Somebody sent me tweeted me a picture, and it's just him sucking bent out. Over on a dog. I thought he was eating it or something. I just said if it's a straw, I'm with him. And then later on I saw the footage of him
using a straw.
To go through the dog, he should get like a butterflied dog on there because you know they just crack it down the middle and
how's
cook
he
it open.
Suck it up?
Yeah.
The straw is what's doing the math, right? Then is the straw remain?
No, he's removed it.
No, oh, he's just removed wanted to make it. A hole.
He yokes it.
Oh, that's he just the yokes it.
He even sucked the meat out of the straw.
That's a man.
Oh, I thought the straw remained.
Oh, no.
All right. Then he's a genius.
If you want maximum hot dog exposure to the beer, you'd want to dice that hot dog as small as possible, right? Like boba. I mean, you want maximum boba.
This is a man of ideas
right
here.
Beerba.
I like it. So anyway, a lot of people are freaking out over this guy. But
he's definitely single.
What?
Yeah.
Can we zoom in for a minute?
Seems alone.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against that.
All right.
But speaking of baseball fans, also in Oakland.
Let me ask hypothetically. I have trouble going out to eat alone, but I will on occasion. I have trouble going to a movie alone.
Oh, my God.
But I will on occasion. But I don't think I'd ever go to a sporting event alone. What does that say? What does
I don't that think say I've about ever been
says,
to a sporting
it
event.
It says you haven't. Well, I mean, I...
That's zero friends, right?
It may be, but... I'll be honest, I almost prefer going to movies alone.
Yeah.
99.8% of the movies I've seen in my life have been alone.
Yeah, and I've heard of people taking the step above, like, oh, I go to stand-up shows alone. I've been to concerts alone. I've been to a concert alone. It's great.
I used to go to USC baseball games alone because they were at like 1 in the afternoon on Friday, and it's like,
plenty of
some
open
beers.
Seating.
And I like taking myself to lunch.
Yeah, have a me day.
Kind of nice.
Don't do it. Okay. Can't do it. But ball game... That concert, no.
Do you think there's too many people looking at you? Do you feel too, like, in a fishbowl?
No, I just, whatever my wiring is if you went to a concert, you wouldn't go alone. If you went to a sporting event, you wouldn't go alone. Theater, I used to do movie reviews for K-Rock, Kevin and Bean, like, way back in the day. So I would go to the matinee in Burbank of, you know, a Periscope or whatever movie. I'm trying to think of a few that I
down Periscope.
Down Periscope. Whatever I saw, I go there.
I mean,
it was a little bit of business, but you could kind of concentrate a little better and all that. But it didn't feel nighttime and social. I wonder if more people go alone during the day to a movie than a nighttime.
I buy that.
Like a Saturday night, that's not a lone movie time.
My anecdotal evidence says yes. Not just me, but people I see.
But concert alone.
I've done that twice.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
I don't think
good.
I'd ever do that.
You don't have to worry about the other losing the other person in the crowd.
That's a good point.
You're only paying for your drinks. I mean, it's nice.
Yeah. never my thing. I can barely eat alone. I can barely go out to eat. I don't think I've rarely ever gone out to eat alone. Just wouldn't do it. I would go, I might go get the food and bring it home, but I would not sit and eat.
Really kind of take the time for yourself, sit at the table, relax.
It's great.
Yeah, I love it.
Especially in the age of cell phones now. You just scroll and read. Yeah.
Read an article, listen to. I like to listen to like a news pod or something. I have my sushi.
I don't judge, but I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Never do it.
Plus, you're well-known.
Not
TMZ.
A factor.
Adam Carolla eats alone. Yeah. No friends.
Gary Busey, Adam Carolla.
I was much more when I was 20 and far less famous. I mean, I was a great ditch digger back then, so there was some buzz.
The world over.
Local buzz. But would never go to a movie or even to like an arcade or out to eat. I would have to like recruit. I could remember like the biggest bummer of my life would be, it'd be like Sunday night. Remember that feeling of just out and out dread on a Sunday night? You'd either, it was for, you know, 10 years, oh God, probably, yeah, more, 13 years, whatever, 12 years. It was return to school. Maybe the first year and a half it wasn't. But for me, it was either all out dread on a Sunday night, school tomorrow, I hate school. And then that gave way immediately to a dread job that started Monday morning. And they were all, school was, you know, 8:05, and that was early enough. And then I went right into construction. That was 7 a.m., and that was like earlier and And I would sit around in my apartment, you know, when I was 19 or 20, and it'd be Sunday at like 7:15, and I'd just be sitting there going, And I go, God, I got to do, like, I got to see a movie. Let's see a movie, you know. And
I would
call everyone I knew, going, come on, let's see. And they, I'd hate it. They'd go, I got to go to work early tomorrow. And I go, or school or whatever.
You're antsy.
And I wouldn't go.
Wow.
When does that kick in for everyone? For me, it was around fourth grade. The first, you know, first early years.
The dread?
The dread of school. The dread of.
Fourth grade sounds about right.
Yeah, it's about right.
I think I remember telling you guys that even back when I lived in Pennsylvania and I was in like going to a Quaker school when I was like in kindergarten or first grade or something like that. I did when we ran into Teacher Doris at that supermarket. I was six and I saw her and I was like, ugh.
You're supposed to be excited when you're six to see a teacher.
She ran in and then ran to my mom and they had a little exchange and then she started talking about me being behind. And I was like, it's basically a marathon, but we haven't, the starter's pistol hasn't gone off yet. How do you get behind before we start? I was behind before we began.
That's not cool.
Yeah, I was behind in like second grade. I remember my teacher told my mom that. My mom was like, how behind is he? And she said, if the school lit on fire, Chris would be the last one out.
Wow.
Wow. That's
behind.
That hurt. Yeah.
That's slow.
Yeah. And I guess for me, it just got cemented in with Teacher Doris at that supermarket in Pennsylvania. And it's all been downhill since then.
She sealed your fate.
She sealed my fate. I was just like, ugh. But still wouldn't go out to eat or to a movie alone. I would call everyone I knew and would beg them to go with me.
Yeah, I prefer it.
Yeah,
good.
Give it a shot. Just give it a shot. Let us know. No, I'll do the hot dog thing.
I've had to do.
Let's all step out of our comfort zone.
I told you when I drove my Catholic little brother and his friends to Knott's Scary Farm back in the day, I wasn't going there and back to Buena Park.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to be the old dude who's chaperoning them. I said, you guys got like 6 hours in this park. I was just in, Buena Vista or Buena. Yeah. I don't know where the hell it is.
But Buena Park.
I just sat at a diner for like 2 hours, sat there alone, and then just went and saw Get Shorty.
Oh, wow.
Alone.
There you go.
It's a nice little me day.
Yeah. Dawson, if you look up Gina, if you look up Get Shorty, it had to be
95, late 94,
early 95. Mm-hmm. That's about the time I had my little brother and had nothing to do. I just made it into K-Rock, but I was able to probably cop some tickets from K-Rock.
Oh, yeah.
For Not Scary Farm.
Yeah. These were part of a sticker stop.
That's what it was. All right. Now we got to eat your feelings
here?
Yeah,
we do.
All right, let's do that.
Check out the Water Cooler podcast, everybody.
Max Zapata. His real name's Laxamana.
Gina is getting her offerings going. Brian brought the macadamia nuts
in. Yeah, buddy.
From Hawaii.
From Maui.
Now,
I assume they're made somewhere.
I don't know if anyone's searched, but as I said, first off, nuts are a mixed bag. And
go on.
Vinny, when you talk to Vinny Tortorich about nuts, there's not much of a rhyme or a reason. Like when it comes to the dietary stuff, mm-hmm. everyone loves lasagna, and then Vinny will go, yeah, it's full of carbs. Mm-hmm. And then you'll go, I get it, but I love it. And then there's other things like broccolini, and you go, I get it. Nuts are, oh, you know, peanuts are bad, but macadamia nuts are good, but pistachios are bad, but walnuts are good. You wouldn't really instinctively know no. which one was better than the other.
You need a chart.
And if you said to me, well, what's the worst nut to eat on a Vinny diet? I would say, well, I don't know, macadamia nut seems to be the best nut. They're amongst the best. So do yourself a favor and get some. But I am telling you, the big size over at the Costco,
oh boy,
not as good as the Manaloa.
Oh, yeah. Those the wine straight ones. From
There's
the
something,
island. Yeah.
Something better about them. And they're a little smaller. And the Maui onion one is fantastic. And if you get that shit, it's a little hard to find. I was looking for it online. But you get yourself a nice chub pack sack of the regular and then the Maui onion. If you're feeling like you need something or you're getting ready to cheat, just take a handful of those. Satiation Highway.
You guys are in luck because there is Maui onion, Hawaiian sea salt, and one more out there for the larger packs for
Fabulous.
Everyone.
Fabulous.
Love you.
All right.
All right. Intro.
So, yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Ryan.
Was there
I know you're about to eat.
I was about to dig into the food. Here we go.
Eat your feelings. Brought to you by Abuelito's Sauce.
She could not stop eating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Vinny helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night. And ever since then, her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
All right. So this very cool little company approached us, and they're called Abuelito's Sauce. Mm-hmm. They do marinades, they do rubs. You can put up the picture I took last night, Ben. And I was like, yeah, I want to try this. A lot of really interesting stuff with like a super Caribbean flavor. Those are pictures I took of our dinner last night.
Nice. And kebab.
Yeah, we did kebabs. And so this guy, this cool guy, Wendell, he's not like a food guy. I think he's a cop, but he entered this like sauce competition and he won. So it's called Caribbean Heat, and they have a bunch of stuff, but that's the one that you guys are eating today. And it's like not too much sugar, like not bad. Like I thought this was a good one for the show. And they were talking about like, oh, it's almost football season. Let's do wings. I'm like, we have a wing thing on this show. At least it's hard to eat and it's a messy. I like a kebab. I did the skewers, and you can tell there's three different flavors I tried, but this I really like. This is the Caribbean Heat, and it has a little kick,
just enough
say,
spice.
Just little,
if you're spice averse, this will be perfect level.
This is your level, but because of the kick, I wanted to bring in something that, like, you know, it's a blue cheese dressing, but I want to do blue cheese with Caribbean food. So I made this really cool, creamy cilantro avocado crema, and it
was
so easy.
It's really good.
Yeah.
You like it?
Mm.
For the cream.
It plays well with the
good. Mm-hmm. Literally, and this is all on eatyourfeelings.com. Literally, all I did was take a bunch of fresh cilantro, full fat Greek yogurt, lime juice, salt, and avocado, and put it in the food processor. That's all
so
it is.
So good.
And lots of garlic. But this sauce, I didn't have to do anything. I cut up chicken thighs because I think they're more flavorful than breast. And I put it in a Ziploc bag, dumped the Caribbean Heat in, let it marinate for about a half hour. Of course, if you want it to marinate deeper, just do it overnight, even a few hours. And I just kebabbed them. I put them on the spears, and we had them for dinner last night, and it was really good. And this seems like a good, like, tailgate food.
For sure.
Yeah.
This will travel well.
Yes, and that was the whole point. Like, how can we do this as a, like, kind of a party, and you can just bring them on the skewers? Let me give you a kebab tip, by the way, that a lot of people do not know. Talk about doing yourself a favor and the people you are serving. I know we all like the pretty picture of the kebabs with the meat and the veggie and the meat and the veggie and the meat and the veggie. Be a pro. Don't give anyone trichinosis. put the veggie kebabs on one skewer and the meat kebabs on another skewer. They do not cook at the same time. Mm. Veggies cook much faster than meat. You're either going to get undercooked meat or overcooked veggies. That
combine
is just,
them later.
Exactly. That is my helpful tip to you. But otherwise, it was really – I mean, I thought I was like going to – it was going to be a whole production, you know, dinner last night. That's easy. Just put them on the skewers, put them in the oven, and put a little broil on them to get that nice candied crispiness on top.
Oh, you do the kebab in the oven.
I did, yeah, because our grill is out of commission right now.
I never really thought about that, but easy. It came out nice.
What I did was I did it for, I don't know, 15 minutes, and then I turned it over so both would have that nice crispy sort of candied
top.
Yeah,
yeah, it worked.
It was really good. So these guys, you just go to abuelitossauce.com. They have free shipping if you buy from the website. They sell on Etsy, by the way, and I know from some Etsy. They have it on Amazon and Etsy, but you get the free shipping if you do it from the website. And they're on TikTok, Abuelitos Sauce Company. I really like them, and they sent me everything, and everything's really good. So go to my website for the kebabs and the crema, and happy eating. It was really fun to make.
Oh, there you go.
Eat your feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipes.
Brought to you by Abuelito's Sauce. Check out abuelitossauce.com.
Nimesh Patel, yes.
I don't know the name of my own website. The food's so good, I was caught in a frenzy. I said eatyourfeelings.com, which I tried to get and couldn't. It's grainfreecomfortfood.com.
And it is good.
Yeah, well done.
Very well done. And yeah, just the right amount of heat.
A little something.
All right. Nimesh Patel, comedian, writer, will be back on the show right after this.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.